Imagine signing a student loan that legally binds you to your future employer before you even take your first class.
Right, it sounds crazy.
But in 2012, South Africa drafted an agricultural policy that did exactly that. Today, we're taking a deep dive into the South African Agricultural Training Institutes, or ATI bursary policy. We're looking at a literal blueprint for how a government tries to engineer a highly skilled workforce from the ground up.
And they use, highly targeted financial aid to do it. The explicit goal here is transforming these emerging learners into commercial farmers and really competitive agricultural technicians.
Right, so it's not just a handout.
Exactly. It is definitely not a universal education initiative. To achieve that goal, the government essentially built this highly aggressive procurement strategy for human capital. It specifically targets South African citizens who are both financially needy and high academic performers.
So they aren't just funding anyone who, decides they want to farm. It feels like they are treating this almost like a sports draft.
That is actually a really great way to put it.
Yeah, like they're scouting the top draft picks, the academically gifted students who just happen to lack the money for the gear. And the system is brutally selective right
Oh,
now.
absolutely brutal. They actually cap the funding at exactly 17 bursaries per ATI for the top performers across their first 3 years of study.
Wait, just 17?
Just 17. And capping the bursaries there creates this immediate artificial scarcity. It instantly turns the institute into this hyper-competitive environment that mimics the exact pressures of the commercial agricultural market, the one they are about to enter.
So it's like a pressure cooker.
Yeah, and the policy explicitly strips funding from anyone whose academic performance drops.
But doesn't that incredibly strict performance requirement risk? I mean, aren't they leaving the late bloomers behind? Like the kids who maybe didn't have great early schooling but have huge potential?
Well, the government really isn't worried about late bloomers here. They're playing a short game. By tying the money directly to maintain academic excellence, they prioritize a guaranteed immediate return on investment over, say, broader speculative potential. They need highly competent technicians right now to achieve a competitive agricultural sector.
Okay, but identifying that top talent is really only half the battle.
Right.
If the goal is immediate ROI, they have to ensure financial barriers don't block those specific candidates, which I guess forces them into a highly calculated sliding scale to distribute those limited resources.
Yes, and they base this financial vetting scale on the guardian's annual income. This actually has to be verified through government payroll systems and affidavits, so it's strict.
Wow, they checked the payrolls.
They do. And if a family makes between 0 and 60,000 rand a year, they pay 0% of the stipulated fees.
Okay, so totally covered for the lowest income bracket.
Exactly. And then this scales up incrementally. So by the time a family makes over 350,000 rand, they are paying 100% of the fees. It ensures the state's money is purely acting as a bridge for talent that otherwise, just couldn't afford to cross.
That makes sense. But they also squeeze immediate value out of these students while they are still in the system. The policy outlines these Category 3 students.
Right, Category 3 students.
Those are third-year students continuing to a fourth-year bachelor's degree. They study part-time over 2 years because they are actively employed as interns by the ATI.
Oh, to assist the current farm technicians.
Exactly. So they are learning while directly contributing to the sector's output as highly motivated labor.
Right. But here's where your sports draft analogy kind of breaks down when you look at the fine print of the broader program.
Oh, what's the catch?
Graduates are legally obligated to serve the department for a period equal to the duration of their funding. And if they breach that contract, they have to refund all the money used for that period.
Honestly, calling this a bursary feels like a major stretch.
I know,
When you
right?
look at that workback requirement, it functions much less like a traditional scholarship and much more like a corporate sign-on bonus, with a really strict clawback clause.
It really is.
It's essentially an employment contract disguised as student aid.
Exactly. Government aid in emerging sectors isn't about charity. It is a highly aggressive procurement strategy. So for you, the listener, the big takeaway here is observing how large institutions can weaponize financial incentives to procure future loyalty and expertise.
Right.
They aren't just paying for education, they are buying guaranteed future labor to secure an entire industry.
Which brings up a massive structural vulnerability.
Oh,
The
yeah.
policy explicitly states that graduates have the latitude to pursue careers elsewhere, only if the department cannot absorb them.
Meaning, they are only released from the contract if there are literally no government jobs available to place them in.
Right. So what happens to the agricultural sector if a government successfully engineers and trains an entire generation of top-tier experts, but then, well, fails to budget enough open jobs to actually hire them?